Father, we come and giving you thanks in the name of Jesus. Glorying today, hallelujah, in the love that will not let us go. We're giving thanks this morning, sweetly, to these moms. And Lord, each and every one of us most likely are here today because of a praying mother. Lord, thank you, God, that we've had mothers, Lord, godly mothers, that have prayed for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they've abounded on their knees, God, before you, knowing again that you are faithful and true. Lord, thank you for that promise. Thank you, Lord, as we train our children up, when they're old, they won't depart from it. God, but we ask you for a double portion this morning. Quicken them. God, let them waken right now. Lord, let this message touch these children today. Every one of us, God, to rise up and truly to call you blessed. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for the love that doesn't let us go. Thank you for the grace that brought us here today. Lord, thank you for the beauty that's in your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you for his love. Thank you again, God, that he's our advocate. Thank you, Jesus, that our soon coming bridegroom. Lord, let us rejoice in your word today. May we magnify your Son. May your Holy Spirit hit. God, anoint each and every life here this morning. And we give you all the praise, honor, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles today, we're going to the fourth chapter of Galatians. Such a precious portion of Scripture. And we're going to read and rejoice this morning in the mother of us all. The mother of us all. And I pray that this will be something that, if you hadn't heard it before, that, oh, it would touch you. So many try to give different ones the credit as Mother Grace. Let me tell you something. We're going to read about Mother Grace today. But in 4:26 it says, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." Now stay with me. We're going to jump over to Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we'll begin reading from the 22nd verse about this mother of us all, this Jerusalem above. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." So here we have the Jerusalem above, and here we've heard Mount Zion, the assembly of the firstborn. And my goodness, if we still don't get it, how patient God is with us. I'll break it down even more. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His blood, the new covenant, grace. Praise be to God. Here we go again. Grace for grace, grace upon grace. And grace, brothers and sisters, is the mother of us all. And as we read this and how sweetly we've been encouraged throughout the years, we know that grace flows one way, and that's down. Grace comes down, and how wonderful, we know it comes down from the height of heights, Jerusalem above. And oh, what parents we all have. I was thinking today, I'm thankful for godly mothers, but you know, there have been some that have not had godly mothers. There have been some that have not even known their mother. But thanks be to God, as children of the King this morning, I can say we all have the same parents. We have God the Father and Mother Grace, the mother of us all. And how wonderful, brothers and sisters. There's no difference among us. We're the family of God. We've been born of His Spirit. Hallelujah! That we are one in Christ. Do you see how we come? There's no respecter of person. God loves us. We are joined and we are one in Him. And what struck me so wonderfully about our Mother Grace, and I say our Mother Grace, is she has done it all. I mean, she has done it all. Romans 5:15, if we're still not getting it and we need more evidence, who this mother Grace is. In Romans 5, the 15th verse, it says, "For if through the offense of one many be dead," there was Adam, "much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man." Get it? One man, one way, one truth, one word, one life. "The gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Aren't you thankful that the Word of God tells you that? Aren't you thankful that you're reading that today? But most importantly, I pray, aren't you thankful that you believe Him at His Word? I am full of grace and I am full of truth. See, brothers and sisters, grace gave us birth. We are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. Hallelujah. We know these things, and grace brought us that. Just as in the natural, brothers and sisters, our moms gave us birth, and so it is with grace that the precious blood of Jesus gives us everlasting life. And what a gift it is. But again, that's only the beginning, brothers and sisters. You think about even in the natural as these little babies come in. After they're born, what do they need to do? They need to eat. They're ready to eat. I remember when my two little ones were born and how they would go right to mama's breast. And I was so thankful to God to see them nurse, and how wonderful as they would grow up. And so thankful to the Lord. What a sweet bond that is between the mother and the child. And there's a bond they're finding out that in that it goes on and on even naturally. And I'm so thankful to God that how much more spiritually we have in the sincere milk of the Word of God, which is His wondrous grace, brothers and sisters. What a feeding we have. How we nurse and how we wonderfully feed off of that grace. And you talk about a nutrient. You talk about a feast. And think about what the word of His grace does for us. It builds us up. It strengthens us. It causes us to be the people we never could be, never imagined to be. It causes us to grow up from the children, the silliness, from the orneriness, into mature, pleasing sons of God. And it doesn't stop there. By the word of His grace, it builds us up and it gives us an inheritance. And not just any inheritance. It's not, "Oh, I'm just thankful I'm going to heaven." Oh, no. If you'll let grace do it, an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Set apart to God. I look at those worthies of faith in the Old Testament. I've been getting excited going in there to Hebrews chapter 11 and reading more about the promises of God to Abraham and to Isaac and to Ruth and to Esther and to all of those sweet and precious, wonderful saints. But the Word of God says, yet a better thing for us. Without us, they cannot be made perfect. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we have more exceeding and great and precious promises. And the Lord has so freely given them to us. But yet sometimes in our unbelief, we're dragging along and we're allowing glory to pass us by. We're asleep. We're settling in on this floating around. And yet, let me tell you something. The one that win Christ, the ones that win Him, finish with a joy. There's an appreciation, a joy unspeakable. They endure the hardness as good soldiers. They realize that it is the work of the grace and the love of God that they press on. That, "Lord, it's Your love, hallelujah, is the reason that I fight. It's Your love is what I'm drawn to. That I don't give up. That, thank You, God, I cherish Your precious word, Your love letter to me." Now, as we feast upon this wondrous word, brothers and sisters, and we understand that it builds us up and it gives us an inheritance, and it gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, I'll tell you what, that's an elite company. It's so awesome and amazing. And I hope we understand this. We're not magnifying ourselves. That wouldn't be the word of His grace, would it? See, grace is something that's not of us, is it? So we understand if we're being built up in the word of His grace, we had nothing to do with it except to receive it. Isn't that marvelous? So you can say, oh, well, look at him. He thinks he's so something because he's accepting the word of his grace. No, I know that my Father is something, and Jesus Christ gave me that wonderful grace, and it's building me up, and it's giving me inheritance among all them that are set apart. You talk about the table for two. My goodness, brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about some puny, weeny English monarchy that we saw the last 2 weeks running around and all the pomp and circumstance. Let it be a sweet type of what God has for somebody someday. There'll be many watching, but there's only going to be one wife that's ready that marries him. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the puny Congress, Senate, presidency of the United States. I'm talking about the aristocracy of forever. I'm talking about the ones that will rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ throughout eternity. I know that there's something even far more than this universe. But you know what? I can't even think that far. I can't even think that wide. But then again, he said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. And all I can say is finally, as Peter said, Lord, thou knowest. And I'm thankful that we can do that. God, help us to avoid foolish questions. I know that what my Father is seeking right now, he's seeking the ones that will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking and searching right now a goodly pearl. He's the one that Jesus Christ said, it's not of me to give, it's for my Father to give. And let me tell you something, his Father saw a long time ago, son, it's not good for you to live alone. And I'm going to go out and search in this age. I'm going to seek for you a wife, a readied wife, one that worships. Do you know what worship is again? Have we soon forgotten? To draw nigh in fervent love as to kiss him. It's not a buildup of emotion. It could be. It's not necessarily falling down at his feet, and it could be. But I'll tell you what it is every time in any of those instances. It's drawing nigh to your wonderful Lamb of God in fervent love and kissing him. That's the kiss of the worshiper. Now, brothers and sisters, this is wonderful stuff, but again, with God, we've only just begun. This precious grace, this precious mother, we've been born in it. We've been feeding on it. And praise the Lord, what's common to us all as we grow up, even in the natural? Well, we could think of a lot of things, but the one thing I will tell you is common to all of us is getting in trouble. What did he say? Getting in trouble. I'm talking about being ornery. You know what I mean. Defiant, downright, no good. And again, thanks be to God for again and again and again, Mother Grace. Now, I was thinking about this, and I am sad in a way. My mom is away from me for Mother's Day. I think this is the first one. I've never been with her. See, when she's gone, I'll talk about her here today. So see, that'll encourage you to come to church. I was thinking, what an example of the sweet grace of God. As they sung that song, I couldn't help but hold back the tears of the grace of God that the Lord put through my mother in raising her children. And how she would forgive us time and time and time again. And she would even embarrass me so much. And I don't know if you've heard it, and I used to always just say, Lord, have her quit saying that. But she would say, oh, here's my joy boy. You'll tease me about it, I know. Brother Hill used to call me soft eyes, and oh my goodness, no wonder I got pummeled so many times. But I'll tell you, but I had two good brothers to keep me in place, and a couple sisters too, so I won't say about that. We're working, well, never mind. All right, now, but she used to call me her joy boy. And she said, oh, honey, you brought nothing but joy to me. But I'd say to her, now, Mother, when she would say this, and I'd say this to her even recently, I said, Mom, with all the things I did, I said, come on, don't you remember when I did this and I did that and all these things? And, oh, you stayed up late and you were crying. I remember walking in that door and you'd already called Brother Geese and they had SWAT and then some looking for me. And it wasn't even midnight. It was such a, never mind. It was crazy. But there she was, and her poor boy was gone. But I came back, and the Lord restored it. But I'll tell you, she just kept saying, oh, no, honey, nothing but joy. And I thought, how sweet. What a loving mom. What a mother full of such sweet grace. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. That's nothing to be compared with our Mother Grace. It cannot even be compared because, see, not only does Mother Grace show us grace, but Mother Grace empowers us with grace. See, 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us about this, and it's so exciting. And I would pray that you would always have this just leaping through your heart. But in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God is able. See, do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that there's anything hard for God? There isn't anything hard for God. God is the God of impossible. He doesn't even really, that word doesn't even fit. He can just do everything and anything but fail. So here we have, and God is able to make all grace, not just grace. See, God is so complete, and not just complete, He's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think complete. He is so far out there in front, behind, above, everywhere, below. It doesn't really matter, brothers and sisters. He's got us, and we're in His hand. But it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now that would have just caught me right there and say, Lord, I thank you so much. But again, this is God, and His exceeding great and precious promises are just exceedingly that. And it's so absolutely awesome, and I butcher the English so much, but I love to hear His word for us. But it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound. And we don't even have a word in the English to really understand what abound means, but that word abound means super, exceedingly, abundantly abound to every good work. How can you be still? I really wonder sometimes how we can be so still when we are so loved. I mean, it is awesome. I think about these kids and, you know, they get a new girlfriend or a boyfriend and, you know, she's the 10 or he's the 20, whatever it is. And man, they get excited about it. Oh, she's going out with me and this is awesome. Let me tell you something. The lover of lovers, the most beautiful of beauty there's ever been, the Lamb of God loves you. You need to get excited about this. The grace, the glory, the power of His might that He's put in us to love Him, to go yea into the deep things of God, not just to stand back and look at the promises afar off, but say, Lord, I want the double portion. And hallelujah, God, it's Your grace that caused me to see it. It's Your grace that's going to perform it. And I run to Him, hallelujah, and He's been waiting all the time. I've been a prodigal over and over in my life, but He sits there and He's waiting in the kingdom, and He's got the robe and He's got the ring and He's got the hug and He's got the kiss and He's got the feast, and praise be to God, we're going to have a wedding someday. And I believe Jesus Christ in His word, and He's calling to us, brothers and sisters, come unto me. You're weak, you're heavy laden. He knows you. Quit trying to pretend that you've got it all under control. You don't. It is so awesomely amazing that you're incompetent. You don't have any ability, but He is able. See, that's the beauty of our God, and I'm loving it. Oh my goodness. See, we can be who we are in Christ, and we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to everybody who believes. It's so wondrous, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful to God. I don't need to be like anybody else. I don't need to wear anybody else's shoes. I'm praying for some brother. He's taking a meeting over there in Oklahoma, and he said, oh my goodness, my great uncle had this meeting for 50 years, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so thankful to God I didn't think about that. Brother Hill had been here a long time, and I'm grateful to God for the truth and love. But it wasn't Brother Hill. It's the same power of His might that I said, Lord, come and dwell in me. And it'll be the same power of His might that leads us home. It's so wondrous, brothers and sisters. See, that's the power of God. That's the miracle of God. He can take the likes of you and me, take us from the dunghill, and set us on a throne. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is such a beautiful freedom when we quit of ourselves and let the glory of God just take hold. So how wonderful, brothers and sisters, our Savior is. But I tell you, we take this wonderful grace that he has for us. It goes way beyond forgiveness, doesn't it? See, we just get stuck at that. Just take it for what it is. I've already forgiven you. I can't even remember those iniquities. I can't remember those sins anymore. Grace did it. Mercy covered it. Hallelujah. The blood of God. Hallelujah. Has cleansed us from all sin. Now we go on and we're talking about grace that is alive. And grace that is living. And grace that is powerful. Not over yonder, but alive in us. See, Christ in us, the hope of glory, it's got purpose. It's got such great purpose. It's got the will of God purpose. It's how we walk uprightly. It's the grace of God. Preach no other gospel. Grace of God. Are we getting it? It's the grace of God. It's so absolutely wonderful. And we should never let it grow old. It is the power of God. It's his Son. It's the Word. It's heavenly Jerusalem. It is our wonderful Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. But brothers and sisters, we believe this wondrous grace and allow it to be magnified in our lives. It will take us into the deep things of God. It'll have in us believe the scriptures and not standing back and watching someone else go on in the glory. My goodness, Lord, I want to go. Just like that sister said, I will go. Got to leave sometimes, families. Got to leave sometimes, dear friends. But do you lovest thou me more than these? What is it about? Is it about our temporal family or is it about our heavenly Father and his will? Come on now. Let me tell you something. I want my family to go. I want my kids to go. I want my wife to go. But you know what? That's between them and the Lord. I can only live by God's grace, his promises, and running on with him and going forward into the things that God has set before me. But this is his treasure, brothers and sisters, that we would grow up and be full overcomers in Christ Jesus. That is the treasure of grace in our lives, brothers and sisters. It is the transformation power. And that is so true. See, the only power that can transform us into his very image is the grace of God. Think about that. Think about how all these religions and all of these different ones will come at you and say, brother, you're going to have to sit down now. You're going to have to sit down, brother. Okay. All of these religions and all of these denominations will come at you and say that this is a work that we have to do ourselves. That this is somehow that we're going to have to lay hold with our own strength to be able to achieve this religious somehow sanctification unto God. No. Grace. It's grace. Brothers and sisters, the grace of God is so absolutely awesome and wonderful. It is the transforming power. That Jerusalem above has given us everything. It's made us free indeed. It is the power of God. It is the work of God. It is the transformation power. And yes, it is into his very image. Grace is always there that we can. It encourages us that we can, even when we fail so miserably, even when we come up so unbelievably short. It's always the one, that sweet voice that so says, honey, you can do all things through me. I will strengthen you with my grace. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it awesome? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Grace every time. Is that wondrous push, that little nudge. Oh, honey, go on. Don't stop. Grace so wonderful is every time I feel like giving up. And you know this. If you're honest with yourself, you know this. It's that second wind that comes. And you don't just get up. You rise up. You don't just stand up. You leap to your feet. Hallelujah. You jump over walls. It's so wonderful. You run through troops. Those that said, oh, they're done. They're finished. Oh, no. Watch the steel bands popping in my arms. That's the grace of God. See, that enemy, he has to be allowed to come and tempt you. Know these things. Understand that. It's not strange, the fiery trial. Not if you know the Word of God. He's got to lift that hedge. Have you seen my servant Mark or Lynn or Michelle? Have you seen him say, oh, let me tell you something. That mighty fine. I love this servant. Oh, really? Well, let me get Adam here and let me get Adam there. Let me tell you something. Any thought, anything that old enemy has, God had to allow it to happen. God had to have it to be part of your perfect path. Do you believe that? Oh, but brother, I'll tell you, there was drugs in my life, and there was alcohol, and there was all of this, and promiscuity, and all of these different things. Let me tell you something. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I am not advocating sin. I understand what it is. I understand the Word of God tells us that we have a flesh that is weak. But I do believe we have a God that is so far beyond us that He can take those vile things and He can take them and put them in the victory that they are. He is the deliverer. I'm so grateful to God for His grace. Oh my. See, Mother Grace is rocking some people this morning. That's good. That's good. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. Mom's not here, so I can tell you another one. Come home from school one day, and I was in fifth grade. And I'd been beat up pretty good by four boys. And I walked in that door, and I was sniffling. Big old fat lip and a bloody nose, and Mom immediately ran to me. Oh, honey, what happened? What's wrong? So I told her and everything. She says, okay, honey, let's go get in the car. And I thought, okay, we're going to go get an ice cream and have a nice little something like that. But we're talking about a mom who's empowered with grace. And when moms are empowered with grace, let me tell you something. They're like psycho moms. Because grace, sometimes you say, oh, there's a wall there, Lord, and it's coming Mach 4, and well, we're going. Mountain be removed. Hallelujah. But she put me in that car, and well, we weren't going to the ice cream store. Matter of fact, we pulled up right in front of the house of those boys that just beat the tar out of me. She knew who they were. And they were sitting on that porch, and they were kind of laughing. But then when they saw my mom get out of the car with me, they were very quiet. And I said, well, you want me to stay here, Mom? Get out of the car. Mom didn't say that stuff very often. She was very kind in her words. She'd get out of that car. Well, I was still sniffling. I hurt. I was hurting inside out. I want to go crawl in a hole. And she walks. She said, now come on up here with me. She walked up there and she said, now, you four know what you did. And you're the leader of this thing. And she pointed at that big bully that was heading them up. And she said, okay, you three, you stand back over here. And son, you go beat him up. You talk about want to get away. And it was a double, mother, what are you? I'll spank you, and then you're going to beat him up. Everybody was shocked. Well, I'll tell you what, the power of his might was on me, and I beat the tar out of that kid. And you know what? It felt awfully good. Matter of fact, it felt wonderful. And in the long run, it was the best thing that ever happened to that bully. It was. And matter of fact, in the long run, a few years later, he saw me and he said hello. He was a little frightened, but he came up and said hello. Now, I'm not advocating violence. God knows I don't need any more trouble. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Facing our fears and overcoming the things that maybe haunt us, that's what Mother Grace does. And sometimes you think, oh, she's absolutely crazy. But she knows. She knows exactly what you need. She knows exactly the giant you need to face. And you know what? You ain't going around it. You're going to go through the sea. But honey, you just walk right up to it, and I'm going to part it. And I'm not only going to part it, I'm going to put it on dry ground. And then after I walk you halfway through there, I'm going to have that enemy smoking right on your tail again. And you're going to say, Lord, I can't outrun them. And then I'm going to close it up. That wasn't just a moment in time. As I was able to start a little message to some brethren that seemed to be a little distracted in a lot of different things and maybe a little fearful here and there, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I know he don't change, but let me tell you something. I just see him getting better and better and better. Now, I'll tell you. Mother's grace always encourages us, brothers and sisters. And I pray that we realize that that grace gives us sufficiency always in all things to superabound in everything. That we could grow up into the men and women that not only we never thought we could be, but the men and women of God we never knew we could be. Do you understand that? See, he's got a vision for you that's far beyond your vision. Just go with it. He'll lead you into it. He's got a plan for us, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to tell you the plan for every life here today. I'm going to tell you the plan for every life that's ever been, that you'd grow up into all things in Christ Jesus, that you would finish with a full joy, because a full joy wins his best, that we would rest securely in Mother Grace, a transforming that renews our minds moment by moment. A transforming that says you can, that says go on, that says reach, that says press, that says fight the good fight. Mother Grace that encourages us, if by any means I might attain to the out resurrection. Mother Grace who's calling us, apprehend me. Apprehend me. Sit with me, a royal queen. Know that I am well able. And know that I am in you. Let's stand. Let's just give him his worthy praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise, the thanks, the honor. We're glad. Oh, so glad that you love us so. Thank you for your keeping power. Thank you for the grace of God. Lord, there's a lot of different trials that are coming at us right now. God, I know that there are many that are finding themselves in a desert. But Lord, let them know that you're the oasis time and time again. God, this is the time to know that you are God. Thank you. Help us to be still and to rest at the feet of the one we adore. We pray you in Jesus' name. Amen.